Jill Anderson's a botanist and plant ecologist and joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in our woods and waters right now. Welcome back, Jill.
Hello.
Well, this time of year, it's all over my car windshield and my porch furniture. Pine pollen.
Pine pollen. Yeah. Wow. Good thing no one's asking us to count the pine pollen. Would keep all of us busy for the rest of our lives. It's incredible the amount of pollen produced just by all things. But pine pollen in particular is very noticeable because it tends to be a synchronized release and in just enormous quantities. And it turns out that pine pollen, along with other pollens, has just some really beautifully elegant evolved relationships within the species that are related to the pollination and to ensuring proper pollination of the species. So pine pollen is very recognizable. Not all pollen can be looked at microscopically and with great certainty pointed to and say that is pollen from something. But pine pollen is one of those pollens that is very recognizable, both because it's large, comparatively speaking, but also because it looks in outline like Mickey Mouse. If you think about Mickey Mouse's head, so you've got this round center, kind of roundish center, and then these great big ear flaps, right? Well, that's basically the outline of pine pollen grain. And those big ears are air-filled sacs. The pollen grain itself is equipped with these two big air-filled sacs on each side that give it a very readily distinguished outline and have a number of different functions that haven't necessarily been all that well understood for all that long. But the functions that they play are really fascinating in terms of how those air sacs help to ensure good pollination. So as most people know by now, if they didn't already, pines are pollinated by wind. On days when the air, especially on days when the air is fairly dry and there's a light breeze, the male parts, male flowers, are all up and drying out and ready to release their pollen when the conditions are right. And when that big gust of wind comes along, all this pollen gets lifted off and floats out into the air. So prior to the right conditions occurring, these bulky pollen grains that pines have are useful in preventing the pollen from just kind of trickling out of those male flowers because they're bulky. And that means that the pollen can't just fall out and fall down onto female flowers of the same tree. So pines want to mix it up, right? We want one pine pollinating another pine, even some long distance away, not self-pollination. So those bulky grains help keep the pollen in the male flowers until the wind comes along to have them take off. Once they're up and in the air, then those air sacs help with their buoyancy. It helps them keep afloat in the air, gives them additional buoyancy in the air. So that's advantageous in that it means the pollen moves further away from that tree it came from, can move over long distances, really helps mix up that genetic pool over a landscape scale even. And then finally, the female pine cone or pine flowers have a really distinct construction or structure in that the ovule, which is the beginning of the seed in what will be the cone, the female flower, the ovule in the female flower, is turned so that the opening is upside down. So it's facing down. Rather than an open receptacle like a bowl turned up, it's turned the other way, upside down. And off the rim of this receptacle are two long arms or tails that hang down. And those are coated with a real sticky substance. And so the pollen that's flying around in the air, of all kinds, remember there isn't just pine pollen, there's all types of pollen in the air. The pollen that's flying around in the air, if it brushes up against those dangling tails, gets stuck on that secretion of gluey stuff. That's going to happen during the day because that's when the air is dry and the wind is blowing usually in. And it's then at night that the ovule, the part of the female flower, actually secretes a little drop of fluid that's not sticky. It's more like just a drop of water. It's an aqueous solution. And that comes down from the ovule, the inner part of the ovule, down to those arms where pollen could be lodged. And when it gets down in there, it dissolves that sticky glue. And then pine pollen, because it has those nice little air sacs, will float up in that little drop. So, and it'll go straight up right into where it belongs in terms of pollinating the female parts of the female flower. If a pollen grain has been stuck in there that isn't a pine pollen, then it won't rise up because it doesn't have those air sacs. So this, you know, elegant arrangement prevents other pollens that aren't the appropriate pollen from going up and messing up the whole program and getting stuck. So that drop comes down if the pollen isn't something that can rise up like a real pine pollen grain can, then the drop eventually dissipates and the whole thing starts over again. So just a lot of amazing relationships there packed into these tiny little pollen grains and their the female flowers. So in addition to being lots of it, it's also packed with all kinds of interesting little relationships in getting things accomplished.
Wow, that's complicated.
Yeah, and it all happens without us doing anything.
No. Nothing plugs in.
Nothing plugs in. No, it's just really, really amazing to think about all these incredible services that are going on without our being involved at all.
Jill Anderson regularly fills us in on current events in the woods. Thanks for helping us understand a really amazing function, pine pollen.
You're welcome.